Hi, this is Christina Rogers, and I'm here with my friend Nancy Windhart. And we've been friends, both working in interspecies communication for years. And so we decided to sit down and have a talk about it all. So I'm going to let Nancy introduce herself, and then I'll introduce myself.
Thanks, Christina. And thanks for having this conversation. I know you and I have talked many, many times over the years about how our work relates and intersects, and so it's really fun to have this conversation with you. I've been working as an interspecies communicator for professionally about 12 years and in various capacities before that, in certain ways all my life. And my work now is primarily teaching and helping folks who come in often through the animal communication doorway to learn to understand and communicate with animals and other non-human beings through the universal language of telepathy. So that is my work, and my website is nancywindhart.com. And of course, what I've discovered and we've been talking about is that this work, of course, doesn't relate just to animals. Animals are often the doorway for people, but the work of opening our intuitive and telepathic abilities takes us into all kinds of places. So I'll stop there and let you talk a little bit about you and your work.
Thank you, Nancy. Yeah, I've been practicing acupuncture for many, many years, over 30 years, and somewhere along the way, my psychic abilities just kind of popped open. And so I was trying to do acupuncture on people and seeing their past lives and hearing their spirit guides and things like that. And about 12 years ago, I really began focusing on all that and began teaching other people how to develop their intuition and their connection with their spirit guides. And now most recently, I've been doing a lot of work clearing houses. And lately, I've been talking to the spirit of houses. I've started doing this work by distance, and it's just been so interesting and delightful to connect with these spirits that are holding the house. And so that's the latest thing I've been doing. And of course, it is all the same thing because we're using our intuition and we're using our telepathy and our ability to connect with something bigger than the physical plane to be in contact with these other beings that are not actually in physical form. So it's a wonderful experience.
Yeah. So I know that you recently worked with my house, and it was such a lovely experience to have you do that and to have you sense and feel and communicate with the spirit of my house and my land and really feel the energy that she holds here. And of course, it was also really delightful for me to feel how much that was in resonance with my sense of the spirit of this place and my home. And so, you know, I wonder, as I'm thinking about how we talk about telepathy and intuition and reading energy, would you be interested in talking a little bit about how you sort of feel and work with that, and if there are any differences in those different ways of perceiving that you understand?
That's a great question. I think for me, it's a matter of slowing down and then connecting with what's present. And what I've noticed over the years is that the more I slow down, then I can feel that other presence and really feel into what the beingness or the quality that they hold. And it's very similar to reading energy, but when I was clearing houses by doing it in person, it was very different because I was present with the material plane. That's different when we choose to not be with the material plane. We read energy in a different way. So it's lovely to be able to go between those things. So I can do both, where we read the energy in something that's physical, like we know that happens when we're feeling into how another person feels or feeling into an illness or an upset. It's a different thing when you actually feel into a spirit.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting, and I love the way that you the way that you describe that. And I'm thinking about in my own work, you know, the difference between, for example, working with an animal who is in their body, whether or not I'm actually physically present with that animal or not, that has a very different quality and different feel than working with a being who's been in a body, who has since transitioned into the spirit world. And so, you know, feeling the difference in those energies. And then the question, or the topic of, you know, as you're working with, say, the energy of the spirit of a house, which is not an energy or spirit that's necessarily embodied in the house, but is an energy that is holding the energy of that. That's a different thing also, isn't it? It's a different kind of nuance or quality to the energy.
It's very much so. And there needs to be an opening in the house for that spirit to be there, or that spirit can feel neglected. I had a house that I cleared just recently, and the owner of the house was remodeling it, and she had bought that house some years before, and no one had lived in it for a long time, and the house felt so neglected. And when the owner realized, the owner loved the house, she realized that she could actually live there. The spirit of the house got so excited, because she just wanted, the spirit just wanted to be honored and wanted to co-create the energy of a home instead of feeling neglected, as that house had been neglected.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious, because I know in my work, as I'm teaching folks to, you know, how to connect with their animal friends telepathically and how to feel and sense that kind of direct two-way telepathic communication. And we talk about, you know, the different ways that it's possible to receive, and you know, those, sometimes we will hear the words clairsentience or clairaudience or clairvoyance, you know, all of the clairs, and each person tends to have a primary way or ways that she will receive, at least initially in the beginning, and then oftentimes the other modalities kind of fill in, you know. So somebody who might be more visual may start out seeing pictures and then may expand to being able to receive clearly in the other ways. I'm wondering, you know, how that applies to you as you're working with, say, specifically with the in the house clearing work that you do, and with working with the energies of the house. I'd love to have you talk a little bit about how that comes in for you. You know, do you see, do you feel, do you sense, do you actually see a being who's the spirit of the house? How does that work for you?
So the way it works for me is that I'm very clairaudient. So I hear that being talking to me in kind of, she would carry a different energy. And so I would know when I hear it inside my mind that it's a different being than my own mind. And so particularly when I work with houses, I hear that spirit. And I also have a vision of the spirit sometimes, not always, but it's within my mind's eye. It isn't that I see directly. It's more that I see inside of myself. So particularly with the spirit of your house, she was so big and so gracious and so soft. And there was something about who she was that allowed you to be more of who you are, because you could settle in with feeling her. So for myself, I also feel, like you said, we go to all those. The bigger we get in our interspecies communication, all of the senses open up at different times. So sometimes there is a feeling, and particularly with your house, there was a beautiful, soft feeling she had.
Yeah.
So when you work with animals, how do you receive it? Is it a feeling or a seeing or a knowing?
At this point, it's all of that. And it all comes in very, very quickly. And it'll often the dominant sense will often be just a general kind of, I'll get the whole package all at once. But, you know, when I started out, it was a combination of empathic emotional feeling. And then I would also frequently see pictures. As I've, you know, honed the work in my own being, and as I've learned and grown over the years that I've been doing this work, what I find is that I often get the whole picture very, very quickly, where I understand and sense and feel and see and get the emotions and the physical sensations and all of the information that is important in whatever situation I'm working with. And it tends to come in a very quick package all together, all at once. One of the ways that I work with animals empathically that I find gives me the most direct information the quickest is to really merge with their perspective and become one with them and really go inside their perspective and see and feel and sense from within their viewpoint. And that oftentimes gives, for me, the clearest picture and understanding of what's actually happening with them from their perspective. So it's not so much from the outside looking in, but it's becoming one with and really just being willing to empathically feel and sense the whole picture from their perspective and then go from there. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And that's really fascinating. I keep going to the whales. When you are inside the whale, what's it feel like, or what is your sense from being inside the whale?
It's very difficult to find language for that, actually. And even as you say it, and I start to touch into that, it's such a powerful and potent experience. The whales of many species are doing very particular work here on the planet during this time. And, you know, I want to be careful to differentiate talking about the whales as a general group and from, you know, individuals and also different species of cetaceans who have their own particular lives and flavor of what they're doing. But as I work with many of the whales and go into their perspective and their wisdom, their knowledge of what they understand, one way that I might describe it is that they're able to hold the full awareness of their physical reality, their lives and their whale bodies, with their families in the ocean, with all of the joys and pain that can involve for them in their physical form, not separate from and simultaneous with their incredible awareness of what I might call cosmic spirituality. So they're able to hold all of the wisdom. Many indigenous traditions, and also many of us who work with the whales, become aware that they are the record keepers of the planet in many ways. And so they're able to hold all of that wisdom and knowledge and awareness, spiritual awareness, without having to lose any awareness of their physical reality, their physical form. Mm-hmm. And it's something that's very hard to put into words because it's so vast, but it's also really simple. And it's something that they're very, very willing to help humans understand and to teach us about.
It's just beautiful. It makes me think of what it is as we open up to our intuitive telepathic abilities and how we merge with different energies. And it's been an issue for some of my students of how they keep their boundaries so that they feel safe out in the world. So I think there's two things. One is, yes, that we do have to have boundaries. And also, though, when we go into nature, part of what's so beautiful is that we can expand and open up to all the beauty, all the energetic fullness of what nature holds, and be nourished. And we can let go of our boundaries at that time. So it's like the whales. It's how do we not have duality and have both our bodies, our own personal individual selves, and then open up and expand into that bigness.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's such a, you know, it's really a big topic, actually, because, you know, we're talking about, you know, I am Nancy and I'm in connection with this other being, whether it's Christina or a whale or the spirit of my house or, you know, my dog or a stone or whatever it is. And of course, you know, from the perspective of individuality, in our particular expressions of the life force or the divine in form, yes, we're expressing as different beings in that way. And so there's a sense of duality of I am this person here and I'm in connection with and communication with this being over there and trying to understand. But of course, on the greater level, that's simply an illusion, right? There's no such thing as human or whale or stone or rock that is actually separate from the whole. And it's one of the things that the great spiritual traditions all work with, I think, and try to help us understand this seeming paradox that we live with. And one of the things I've understood from my whale teachers is that this doesn't present such a difficulty for them as it does for us as humans to kind of understand. They're very clear about understanding that there is a particular expression of the divine that they're aware of in their physical form. But it's actually not separate from the ocean, the water, the people who come to be with them, the krill that they eat, or whatever it is. They are able to really hold that understanding that the particular physical expression is not at all separate from the whole of the cosmos. And that the whole of the cosmos is actually love, and that's what we all are, and what we all embody, and what we're all swimming in a certain way. I think that's the essence of when we really are talking about interspecies communication or intuitive opening. That's the field we're actually playing in, and in that field, the concept of boundaries is kind of irrelevant. It's in our particular expression of physical reality in the worlds that we travel in that sometimes we have to think about how we work with boundaries in a very particular way. But in the bigger field, it's not even so much a relevant issue as you were talking about with being outside and being in nature and being in that place of just full, undefended, free connection.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And so I think as humans, part of what we, our goal or the way to be well is to really absorb that oneness and that love and really bathe in the waters of that energy and then be in our personal lives. And it's interesting because in a way there is a dichotomy for us because both exist, what we have to do in the world, the day-to-day task, and being in the oneness. And so if there's a way that we can balance that or have all that oneness and love be feeding into our daily life, then we feel happy and well, and as we know that we're contributing to the world and that we're helping the world exist in this higher vibration. So again, I think it's what we focus on and how we swim in those waters.
Yeah.
Well, I think our time is up here. So anything else you want to say?
No, I mean, this is such a wonderful conversation. Of course, it's one that could take off in a lot of different possible paths. And so it's just wonderful to have this connection with you and to share a little bit of this together.
Yeah, thank you. It's just so lovely. So thanks for being with me today, Nancy, for us sharing this time. And I just wanted to say, I didn't say in the beginning, that if you want to look more at my work, I'm at Passion for Spirit. And just a pleasure to share this time, and really a pleasure to be on the planet at this time when we have to hold a little bit of rigor to be in the love and the light. So I know that that's...
Yeah, it's a daily practice, isn't it? Or maybe a moment practice of really focusing on, you know, the frequency of having that sacred outlook is one of the traditions that I studied in talks about, you know, like the sacred outlook and holding that frequency that we want to embody in this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just so important in these times.
Well, thank you, Christina, for having this conversation with me, and thank you for the work that you're doing. And maybe we can continue this with part two another time.
That sounds great. Thank you, Nancy, and thank you for what you bring to the world and what you bring to the animals and the humans, to all of us. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye for now.